tragedies that have recently come to us in our atmosphere. So I ask God to just help me, if you will, to just kind of share with his people what I believe that needs to go on from a spiritual place. So this particular scripture comes from 2 Chronicles 7, 1 through 3, and I'll be reading 14 and 19 through 22. It says, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good, and his mercy endureth forever." Jump down to 14. It said, "And my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then they will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal the land." Jump down to verse 19, it says, "But if you turn away and forsake my statute and my commandment, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of the land which I have given them, and this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and I will make it as a proverb and be and bywords of all nations, among all nations. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passes by it, so that he shall say, Why has the Lord done this unto this land and unto this house?" We like to use as a sermon topic, if you will, healing the land. Healing the land. Now, this song had nothing really to do with this sermon, but it was one of my mother's favorite songs. And I thought about it because it put me in a place where I knew God could really hear my spirit. But just a little song. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Healing. That's what I need them in this land that we live in.
To take my hand.
Leave. Every one of us need them.
To leave snow.
Healing the land. Most of you are aware of the recent shootings at First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas. I'm asking you today, if you will, to walk with me on a journey that may cause you just a little unrest. So I want you to just kind of peep in with me and just kind of draw in to where we're trying to go. A place that will cause you to look not with your naked eye, but with a spiritual eye. Because you see, the naked eye, as real as things may appear, they don't reveal all of what's going on around us. I know you say if you see it, you can believe it, but it doesn't always show you what's going on around us. But looking through the spiritual eye, which all of us have access to, can reveal things that the naked eye will never be able to reveal. But it comes with a cost. It may reveal some things to you when you look through it from a spiritual eye, some things that you just may not want to see. It may show you some things that you may not really be prepared for what's about to happen next. But let me pose a question for you, if you will. This is a very simple question, and a very yes or no would do. Does anybody besides me believe that God is trying to get our attention? If so, say yes, 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 yes. Are there any no's in the house? So the yes have it. God is trying to get our attention. And I don't have to tell you, but the last few months for me, God has taken me on a personal, on a spiritual journey that has shaken me. But it also has focused my attention to ask what's going on in the land. You ever find yourself sometimes just, if you allow yourself to go to a place, you may want to just let God take you somewhere that you really don't want to go. So you got to be in your spiritual mindset. And in response to the recent change of devastating events, and whereas these events had happened time and time before, it appears that they are happening more recently than not. One tragic event after another. Well, I know some of you may have come today just to, you know, to get pumped up and maybe to get, for me to tell you God is everything is going to be all right, which it is. To tell you that God won't put no more on you than you can bear, which he won't. But today might be a little different. Every now and then you want to look at what's going on around you. Every now and then you got to just purge yourself and come out of your shout sometime and come out of your praise just for a moment just to take a look at what's going on around you. Let me point out a couple things here just for your backdrop. August 2017, historic Hurricane Harvey devastated the portions of South Texas, Louisiana, Belize, Honduras, Nicaragua, Sucatan, and devastated the land. Everywhere that the cameras could get, we sat and we saw. And before the winds and the waters could die down, August also 2017, another historic hurricane, Irma, demolishes portions of Florida, Cuba, Puerto Rico, the Bahamas, St. Martin Island, St. Thomas, the Turks, devastating the land. Paralyzed by the tragedies and empathizing with those who were affected, and again, everywhere a camera could find itself, we sat and we saw. We witnessed the worst in nature and the best in mankind. And those near and far lended their hands and their resources to help as much as they could. The land needed some help. And just as the waters began and the winds began to calm down, then a fire strikes the land. October 2017, wildfires in Northern California destroyed some 8,400 homes. And buildings, several lives were lost, and everywhere you could find a camera, we sat and we saw. Less than a week later, another kind of fire rained down. October 17, 2017, gunfire from a deranged psychopath opened fire outside of a concert, killing some 59 innocent people and injuring some 527 more. And everywhere you could find a camera, we sat and we saw. The land is bruised. The land is being attacked. There's something going on in the land. Can you remember a time where that many tragedies happened, one right behind the other, that quickly behind the other? Have you ever in your lifetime witnessing? I can say that I haven't. And we oftentimes forget the last big story. Things are happening so often that sometimes we become immune and numb to the tragedies of life. You find yourself sometimes acting as if it's just another day. Oftentimes when I go into my office, and I understand how this thing works. But we got to keep going. You have to go to work. You got to go. But it just seems like people walk around and don't really even care. There are folk that are still devastated in the land. But we walk around sometimes and act as if we don't even care. Well, I tell you one thing, that God is trying to get our attention. While one part of the land hurts, the other part goes on business as usual. I tell you that the land needs to be healed. Today I'm trying to reach into your heart. I'm trying to get you to kind of peep in to see where God would have us to go. So sometime when we come in, we need to make sure that when we leave here, we leave with something in our spirit. Now Sunday, October the 29th, at First Baptist Church, Sutherland Springs, while worshiping as we are now, our Creator God, a demon from the pit of hell entered the house of God and opened fire, killing some 26 people, men, women, and children. No one has the answer. This leaves us with no words, just questions. We sit sometimes and are not aware of what's going on around. We're not aware. We get so caught up with the mundane things of life that we never really begin to look around to see what it is that God is trying to say. I believe God is trying to say something. I know he's trying to say it, and I want to know how many of you are going to just allow him to speak to you so that you can see with a different eye. God will continue to love us. And I thank you for that, because that's the spirit of Christ that we want some people to just to take the boldness to say that God does love us. He didn't come this far just to leave us. He didn't leave us out here for man just to destroy us or this world to destroy us. God is sitting here with us right now, and he has a purpose for everybody in this atmosphere. And I'm here to tell you that he will cover you with his blood. He will cover you with his anointing. He will cover you, but you're going to have to get your relationship right with him. Yeah. It becomes a time now that we cannot continue to just walk in and walk out. We need to be more spiritually minded and in tune to what God is trying to say, because he is trying to say something to us. Do you hear what he's trying to say? Can you catch on to what he's trying to say? I had a co-worker come ask me. He said, "Ron, I know that you are a man of God." He told me to come in his office and sit down. So I guess he was qualifying me, but he said, "I know that you are a man of God." And he asked me, he said, "Where is God in all of this?" He asked me. I was just walking by his office. You know, sometimes in the workplace, you know, everybody don't like to talk about God on the workplace. Well, maybe that's why we're having so much problems in our offices, because we don't talk about God. But I have to come to tell you that he wanted to ask this question. So he asked me, he said, "Ron, where's God in all this? And why is he allowing this to happen?" And I answered him in a very soft voice as I could, "I don't know. I don't know." I said, "But that's a good question." Sometimes it's okay to say at that moment that you just don't know. Sometimes it's okay. We act like sometimes we know it all. Because I got this robe on, I don't know it all. Some of the secret things belong to God, and he's going to keep some of those things for himself. But he asked me a question. He wanted to know why. And I looked at him, and he was still concerned. I just saw it looking in his face, and I just saw that there were still questions in his eyes and words that he could not say. But I just saw it because he was looking for an answer from me, because he recognized the God in me, and he needed to get an answer. God is provoking people in places where you wouldn't even imagine. That's what it's all for. How can a God who loves us so, and he does, allow this to happen? How could God, who extends his mercy to us daily, allow this to happen to us? How can he permit certain things to just happen one after the other after the other? How can a God who is here right now allow this to happen? And he was looking for answers. And I said to him, I said, my brother, understanding the permissive will of God is one of the hardest things for us to understand. He said, matter of fact, we will never understand his permissive will, how and why he allows bad things to happen to good people and to happen to his people. There are some things that God has allowed to happen that we will never be able to understand. But why? The human side of us still can go and ask the question, "Lord, why are you allowing these things to happen in the land? I just cannot seem to understand, Lord, why? I said, God is trying to get our attention. He is not happy with how his land is being handled. You got governments storing up treasures for themselves. People storing up treasures for themselves. And God is going to get our attention, unfortunately, like Malcolm said, by any means necessary. And if that means destroying the very land that he created, I promise you that he's going to get our attention. By any means necessary. Are you going to be prepared for what the necessary is going to be? Or are we going to keep walking around business as usual? I want to sound the alarm to ask you, what's next? Who is next? Let us not get so naive and comfortable to think that it cannot happen here. We can't get so comfortable with the demonic force that's around us. It's a real force, I tell you. And it's coming to destroy. You know that his days are numbered, his times are numbered, and God is trying to prepare his people for what's coming next. But how many of you know what's next? Anybody know what's next? But this Second Chronicle gave me some insight about the land
especially when it related to the house of God. And while he's allowed some of these tragedies to happen in his church house 2 years ago in Charleston, and here again just a couple of weeks ago in Texas. Why the Lord's house? Tragedies on the street doesn't seem to get the attention. You got a crazy man in the White House who wanted to just push a button and destroy somebody who didn't do him any harm. You got another one in North Korea that don't care about whether his people die. I'm telling you, God is trying to get our attention, so he had to visit his house. Maybe we can ask him. But when is the church voice going to be the voice that we hear? Why does the camera have to always paint the picture? We never see it on the TV. We never see God's people rising up and saying, I'm tired of what's going on in the atmosphere. We need God's voice to be the voice that we're listening to. When is it going to happen? It starts with you. It starts with me. It means that you got to do something different. I've got to do something different. I can't keep walking around here just thinking it's all about me and really all about you. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than Brooklyn. It's the kingdom of God. You hear what I'm trying to tell you? Don't get so caught up with what's around the four walls. The church of God has got to rise above, because when we get to heaven, it's not going to have a section for AME or Baptist. You won't have a Church of God corner. The people of God are going to gather around his throne, and we're going to cry, Hosanna, Hosanna. But God is trying to get us, he's trying to get our attention. But after reading this scripture, I was a little perplexed. I was a little perplexed. It starts out good for the house of God, but it doesn't end so well. Solomon is praying. He's praying so that the fire comes down and the glory of the Lord fill the house. Think about it for a minute. That the glory was so high in the house that the priests could not even enter the house of God. That means he was on the outside of the house praying, and then the glory of the Lord filled it, that even I, as a priest of God, couldn't walk in the house because the house was so filled. Wouldn't you like to see it one day? And even so, the scripture goes on to say that so as it must, that even the children of Israel that was witnessing the fire coming down, they realized that the fire was such and that the house was filled with his glory, that they began to fall down and worship God, and they began to sing his mercy and do it forever. Can you imagine what it would be like if you came up here one Sunday morning, and we couldn't even get in the church, and we was all out there. You saw me standing in the parking lot, and I was on my knees crying, Hosanna, Hosanna. And I'm telling you, you can't go in the house. The house is on fire. God is in the house. We are not even worthy enough to get in that kind of his presence. Could you imagine if one Sunday everybody decided, because God is trying to get our attention, that on the outside of every house of God, you find the people of God on their knees praying, God, Hosanna, Hosanna. God, your mercy is everlasting and it endures forever. Could you imagine what it would be like? What a day I believe that would be if we could just get to the point. But oh, this thing does not end well for the house of God. Oh, it started out real good. By the end of the chapter, the love for his house is now experiencing a different kind of love, and it appears that it's not even love at all. By the time you get to the end of the chapter, now I want you to go home and read this for yourself, because I ain't made this up. It's in the book. And as Pastor Chris said a few Sundays ago, everything in the book, I believe what the book says. It's in the book. Now we hear the word of God saying in verses 19, I'm going to jump to 19 to the end. And let me look at what it says. Allow this to hit your spirit. It says, but if we turn away and forsake my statute and my commandment, which I have set before you, and shall serve other gods and worship them. God said, then I will pluck them by the roots out of the land which I have given them. And this house which I sanctified in the beginning, for my name will I cast out of my sight. That's what God said. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passes by it, so that they will say, why has the Lord done this unto this land and unto the house? That's the question in the atmosphere. Why has he allowed this to happen to the house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their father and laid holds on other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore has he brought all the evil upon them. Now make no mistake, because I don't want anybody to leave here thinking that the people in the churches that was tragically struck was because something that they did. I don't want you to think that. Because see, it's bigger than the church. It's bigger than the church that they were sitting in. God is trying to get our attention. So don't leave under the understanding that, hey, because something was going on there that he decided that he was going to tear down. But there's another message in this thing that you got to look at it from a personal perspective. Because see, really, I am the church. When you think about it, you represent the church. I don't care where you go, where you stand, you represent God's house and God's church everywhere that you go. The question is, when somebody sees you, do they see the house of God? Yeah. It's just something to think about. Just something to think about. His house, which sits on the land. Started out one way in the scripture, but ends up in another. But how did they get from the beginning to the end? How did they get from being a blessing from God to them becoming astonished and people saying, why did the Lord allow this to happen? Why is it now that when the people walk by the church, they're looking at it like, why did God, that church is gone, there's nothing going on in the atmosphere. Why did he allow it to happen? Well, tell somebody, it's in the middle. Verse 14, it's in the middle, it's in the middle. Chapter 14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal the land. I got one name and seven words for you. And then we're going to be on our way. One name. It's in the middle. God said that if my people who are called by my, what's his name? Leave it right there. What's his name? I want to make sure that you know what the name is. He said that if my people who are called by my name, listen to what it says. He did not say, if my people that are called by my voice, because he recognized that if he had called them with his voice, everybody would have paid attention. He didn't say, if I called them by my power. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, which represents the fact that you don't have to say something. It's just the fact that if you understand the power and just the sight of the name. If this name pops up, then y'all will bring you to attention. People who are called by his name, nobody don't have to say Jesus. They ought to just be able to write it down, and it should get your attention. You want to know how to get folk off your job messing with you? Walk by their desk and write the name Jesus. You want to get them off your case? You ain't got to say a word to them. Just write Jesus on it. You know somebody going to mess with you. But the Bible said that the people that are called by my name, there is glory and power and authority in just the sight of his name. Not just the mention of his name, because we know at the mention of his name, every knee has got to bow. Every tongue has got to fast. But I'm asking you, if somebody just put the name in your front, going to respond just at the name. I started to do that with that poor Elizabeth this morning. I told him I was on my way to church, getting ready to prepare for my message, and he acted like he really didn't care. Came back and gave us our tickets. I started, but I was going to be too late. Started to pull on my papers. I got it written right here. I started to put that on him. But you want to put some stuff on some folk? One name. Write it down. So anytime you see it anywhere, you better rest assured that there's some authority in what you see. Jesus. My people who are called by my name. That's what it says. Just shall but humble themselves. Put it up on the screen. Humble themselves. You want to know why we're in the mix that we're in? Is in the middle. My people who are called by my name will just humble themselves. See, humility is a great asset that a lot of us find it hard to do. Because, see, we walk around on our piety. We walk around on our thrones. And we think it's all about us. But, see, God is trying to get our attention. You saw what happened at the end of this story, at the end of this chapter. He's telling you, if my people who are called by my name will just humble themselves. That means you got to get down off of your high horse. You got to come down. Can you come down just for a minute? I know you think it's because of the degrees. I know you think it's because of your bank account. But it ain't because of none of that. God is trying to get his people. That's why the world is messed up like it is. We got so many folk that's trying to keep everything for themselves, and they won't humble themselves to save Jesus. But you're going to have to understand, by any means necessary, God is going to get our attention. Humble themselves and pray. It's a good order to this thing. I'm going to tell you, this ain't just happened this way. You got to humble yourself before you go to God. Some of us come to God with some stuff. You ain't humbled yourself no more than a man in the moon. But the Bible says that you have to humble yourself and pray. And I ain't talking about no cute prayers. We're going to have to get, look here, we're in a time now where we need some powerful prayers. We need some folk praying these demons out of this atmosphere. We need some folk that can call them by their name and say, I plead the blood of Jesus on this demon. You are not going to have your way in this atmosphere. You are not going to have your way in my house. You are not going to have your way in my life. I'm pleading the blood on every demon in the name of Jesus. I'm calling you out today that if you are bothering the people of God, God is telling you, you better get on your knees and you better pray to what God needs for you to do. I'm talking about for real prayer. When you get down on your knees, and I'm not talking about just, oh, God, thank you. I'm telling you, some of us are praying for the wrong thing. Some of us are praying that God bless me with a car, bless me with a house. You better get beyond this. Your soul is at stake. I'm telling you, your soul, your spirit is at stake. God needs you to pray and pray for real until the tears come down your face. Pray. But you got to humble yourselves. Get out of yourself. It ain't about you no how. It ain't about me no how. I don't care. It is not about me. It ain't about Pastor Jackson or Pastor Johnson. It's about Jesus. And you better pray. It ain't about Brooklyn. I love Brooklyn. I give my life. I've been here 30 years. But it ain't about the name. Only name is about this. That's the only name. Humble yourselves and pray. Next word is and seek my face. Look at the order. Look at the order. Jesus said, humble yourselves. Pray. And while you're praying, seek my face. Not number 45 face. Not your husband's face. Not your pastor's face. Seek my face. While you're on your knees, thank you, thank you. While you're on your knees, you better be trying to seek his face. Oh, it's a perfect order. If you look at how this word unfolds, you want to know how they got from a house that was so blessed in the beginning to a house now that God has taken his hands off because the folk didn't start about what was in the middle. I'm telling you, he said, you better seek his face. Stop looking at me. Stop worrying about what I'm going to do. Stop worrying about what your pastor's going to do. You better seek God's face for yourself. Because I'm here to tell you that if it had not been for the Lord who was on your side, I'm telling you, where could you be? I'm here to tell you, you better seek his face. And you better seek it for real. It's in the middle. Yeah. Look at the order. The next word says, and seek his face. And then it says, turn. Tell somebody you got to move. You got to move, my brothers and my sisters. After you have humbled and prayed and seek, and now that you see his face, you got to turn. Something has got to change in your life. You can't meet him and don't turn. Ain't no way in the world you can stay the same. Ain't no way you can keep going in the same direction. You got to turn. You got to turn. Tell somebody, turn. You got to turn. Turn from your wicked ways. All of us got them. Everybody got them. I don't know where you are with yours, but I done turned some things loose that I used to do. I don't walk the same way I used to walk. I don't talk the same way. You got to turn. 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 Then when you turn, then the Bible says you can hear. Oh, goodness, he got you where he wants you now. Because once you have humbled yourself and seeked and prayed, and you've turned, and now you can hear. You got to put aside some stuff if you really want to hear from heaven. Let me tell you something. The good thing about this word of God is this. God gave us something that he didn't give the people of Israel. He gave us the answers to every question. He gave you the problem, and then he gave you the answer. And the answer is in the book. So if you want the answers, you got to go to the book. Don't rely on me to give you the answers. You better go and get the book for yourself. Because then you can hear from heaven. And hearing from heaven is in the book. Oh, it's a perfect order in verse 14. I promise you it's a perfect order in 14. And then, once you hear, and now, here comes the good part. God said he will forgive. Oh, I done followed this order. I have done what he asked me. I've humbled myself. I've prayed. I've seeked his face. I've turned from my wicked ways, and I'm hearing from heaven. And now, guess what now? Now that I've heard from heaven, he's going to wash me. He's going to clean me. He's going to forgive me from all of the things, all of the wrong. And let me tell you something. Once God forgives you, you've been forgiven. You know what I'm saying? Somebody holding something against you, don't you worry. That's God for forgiveness. God, please forgive me. Please forgive me. And I promise you that once you can hear from him, he will forgive you. So whatever you are holding from the past, God forgives you. But you got to follow the order. You can't be out of order. You can't get forgiveness if you ain't humbled yourself. You can't get forgiven if you hadn't seeked them. You hear what I'm telling you? If you want to be forgiven, you're going to have to follow the order. And there's a perfect order to how this thing is working out for us. And oh, but the last thing, once you've done all of that, you forgive their sins. And this is where the land that we live in, the Bible said he will heal the land. Heal the land.
has been devastated. There's hurt in the land. There are people still trying to pick up the pieces. In this chapter, the church was being blessed, but because somewhere along the way, they decided that other gods were more important. They began to worship their jobs. They began to worship their cars, their houses, their spouses. Left God out of the picture. And God is saying, I'm getting tired of you folk putting so much stuff in front of me, putting so much stuff in front of my will, that I'm going to have to get your attention some kind of way. And this is the one place in the atmosphere that we feel the most safe, is in the house of God. Because let me tell you something, I feel safe when I'm around you. I believe that everybody that comes in here loves the Lord. I believe if you're trying, yet you're trying. I believe that if you're not there, you're trying to get there. I recognize that everybody's not at the same place at the same time. I understand that. That's why you got to keep on coming. That's why you can't let Satan keep you at the house. You got to keep on coming to the house. Because I'm telling you that God has some healing in the house for you. But you got to recognize that he is in the healing business. And if you know that he's in the healing business, then you can come to the house without any reservation. And realize, as regular as I may be, as filthy as I am, I'm here to tell you that the God that I serve is going to take everything that I've got, and he's going to cleanse me, and he's going to heal the land. Put them all up, Tim. Put them all up for me. I want you to write this down. This is your order. This is your order. You study your order daily. Read this daily. If you don't want the Lord to take his hands off of you, if you don't want him to cast you away out of his sight, you better follow this order. And listen, let me tell you something. I don't know where you are on this list. Somebody may be in the humbling stage right now. I don't know where you are. Somebody may be praying right now. I don't know where you are. Somebody may be in the seeking stage, trying to find them. I don't know. I don't know. You may be in that stage. I don't know where you are. You may be turning. You may have already turned this thing around. That's where you may be. I don't know. Everybody in here is in one of these places. I don't know which one you fall in. But if you're in one of these places, I want you to tell you to hold on. Because at the end, God is going to heal you. If you can trust the fact that at the beginning of it is Jesus and at the end of it is his healing, I promise you that everything in the middle is going to work itself out. Tell somebody it's in the middle. It's in the middle. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet.